Welcome to Champagne Sunday. I'm Lauren.
Hey, I'm Bonnie.
I'm Beth.
And we're going to talk about life
after divorce.
And living
the best life.
Best life and the life you love.
Yes, living the life you love on that other side.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome. Tonight, we're going to talk about the rule of 100. Beth has found this fabulous thing on, I don't know, one of her social media platforms. And I think we've all kind of heard about this concept before, the idea that if you spend a little bit of time each day on something, you become an expert by the end of it, the rule of 100. But go ahead and read.
I'll read this one. It's the rule of 100. If you spend 100 hours a year in any discipline, which is only 18 minutes a day, you'll be better than 95% of the world in that discipline. Consistency is everything, and that's by Jay Bonaculta.
Thank you for the reference. So I am terrible at that. There are lots of things that I want to be a whole lot better at, but I look up and 5 days have gone by and I've not done anything towards it. And it's not that I don't mean to. It's just if I don't have this huge, consistent effort to build it into my routine, it doesn't happen.
Also, you and I have ADD paralysis, and that's a real thing, and it is hard to overcome.
And I have to tell you, okay, do you know the concept of body doubling?
No.
So for ADD person, if...
Wait. Yes, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm going to my taking it in a moment. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so body doubling. If you are an ADD person and you have something you're experiencing paralysis about, if you just ask someone to go and sit in the room with you, you get it done.
No. Okay.
It's called body doubling. No,
this is a real thing.
And all of a sudden, you can get it done. It's like you're stealing the motivation out of them.
If I need to clean my house, clean up my closet, like my friend Dana, who I've known forever, she used to come to my house or my closet. Like we've done this several times in my life. And if I need to clean out my closet, we'll go through it together. And she'll, if I hold up a shirt or something, she'll either thumbs up it, or if she doesn't like it, she bats it to the ground. We get to bat it to the ground. So it's like this physical activity, but also there's another human there making me do things. Same thing with her. She can't fold laundry.
Yeah.
But so if I go to her house, she'll fold laundry because we can talk and stuff while we do it.
Well, that's real. I had a friend come this weekend and she wanted to paint. Now, I wasn't teaching her. I wasn't doing this with her. But because she was in my studio working on something, I worked on something in my studio.
Yeah,
and I've been trying to get in there for the past several weeks to start this project. And because she was there, I could start it. It was crazy.
Do you think this is the part of you, too, that's an extrovert? Because I have often thought there's so much more I would get done at work if I could just have an office with another person. You know what I mean?
Oh, I have an office with another person. It doesn't really help me.
Doesn't help.
Because sometimes I don't want to speak in front of her. Like if I'm doing videos and things or sometimes I do.
No.
She is the best office partner I could ever have. Like she's fabulous. But I don't know that having her there necessarily helps me be more productive. Maybe it does.
Okay. As we're having this discussion, I am doing my...
Yes, you are.
more than 18 minutes. And I do stitch every day. I am quite an accomplished stitcher. But I do stitch every day. And would like to branch out and do other things. I have a friend who's an artist. Well, I have two friends that are big artists, besides you, Bonnie. And one of them gave me The Artist Way, the book and the workbook, years and years ago when it first came out. And I went through that and I loved it, but I wasn't at a point in my life that I could actually execute doing something consistently. I was still in the mode of very much hands-on mommy, bed, bath time, put them to bed, and then take my 15 minutes to stitch or get organized for the next day. That's all I have energy for. Fast forward to a bunch of years later, and I met this artist that lived in Colombia, and she was exploring doing more with her art to make it like a full-time business. She's very talented, but she didn't know how to go about it. And she read a book that was very much on this principle because it was 100 paintings. You do 100 paintings, a painting a day for 100 days to improve your technique. It didn't matter what you paint. You could paint the Q-tip on your counter. You could paint, you just did a quick painting, one painting a day. It could be any size, you know, just like what I would call a quick study.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, after that point, I just watched her art just explode. Like, it was amazing just how that discipline of doing it every day.
See, and that's, I need that discipline to do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It's, but when I have found, you know, because I've stopped art shows. I'm not doing those this because I really want to be working on my art, but I'm not working on my art because I have ADHD paralysis over mm-hmm. it. Because I don't have that need pushing me to get mm-hmm. things done. And it should be.
But
and it's not, and it's something I have that I want to do.
Well, on the other thing, besides you say a lot about the paralysis, but, you know, as an artist myself, sometimes I have like a writer's block or artist block, not just the paralysis, but like I honestly, in the down cycle of a creative cycle, not on the uptick. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, see, I feel like I'm in that nesting stage where I spend all this time in the studio playing around, but not really working. That I'm getting ready to birth something. I just hadn't done it yet.
So two points I had to make. For me, when I'm doing a show, that is the only artistic, that's the only creative energy I can give. And the older that I get and the more I know how to negotiate what I do, I withhold creative energy a little bit on some projects so that I can give creative energy to bigger projects. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me, yeah.
So I know I'm in that phase right now. And I know that as soon as I finish this show, I'll have this little spurt of time to devote to things that have nothing to do with creativity. Organization, cooking,
light. I'm telling you, organization like, is a creative effort on my
part. Well, today somebody walked in my office. They said, Lauren, are we gonna get like merch for X, Y, and Z? Like for, you know, for the theater group? And I said, this is something I will think about when the show is over. And my colleague next door said, story of my life. Because it is. And we're like, I'll get to that as soon as the show is over. Because when, and you know this, both of you know this, when you exhibit things in the public eye, there's an amount of pressure and a timeline to it mm-hmm. that you have to meet. Mm-hmm. And when that timeline is done, then you can do XYZ until the next timeline. And that's your most immediate timeline.
Right.
So, that's one. Two, I had this conversation with my musical theater students today. And I have a very big musical theater class and a very broad range of experience, not skill, but experience.
Mm-hmm.
And one student expressed that they were really nervous about their assignment and that it was, you know, they'd never really done this before. And I said, you have to remember, you must meet yourself where you are, that there are many people in here who have done so many performances that have been living with this craft for a long time. You're brand new to this craft. You've done it once. So meet yourself where you are, accept that, and then grow on it. And I said, for instance, I'm a tennis player, not a very accomplished tennis player, but I've been playing for a few years because I liked it. Not because of anything, because I enjoy it. And do I want to get better? Sure. Do I want to be, you know, what, Coco or Serena Williams?
Serena Williams.
Coco or Serena? No, not, I don't aspire to that. But do I want to use it as a physical activity? Do I want to get better at it? Absolutely. And so this past weekend, I took a pickleball class, like intro to pickleball. It was free. I was like, I'm going to go to this so I can at least know how to do it. And there were moments when I was very good because I played tennis. And there were moments where it was terrible because I played tennis. And I just thought, okay, this might be something that develops or not, but like, this is where you are. And the little coaches are going, do this, do this, do this. And I'm like, no, yes, I'm aware. I know that this is what needs to happen, but I'm going to agree to be like, yeah, I did hit that ball too hard. And now I can grow on that and either continue this thing that I like or not. And I think part of it is also like going back to like what we spend our time doing, is to really pick the things that you like doing and filter that. Because if there are things you don't enjoy that you've been doing habitually, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Like,
that's, you know, my word this year is explore.
Yeah.
And I took that pottery class and was terrible.
Yeah.
It was so terrible.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I was terrible. I now know that it was not a missed calling.
Yeah.
I should not have been a potter.
Oh, well,
that was not
on the way home. She called me and said, well, I did it and I enjoyed it, but that's off the list.
Yeah, because I look at it and I think that's something I would love to do. It's not, I don't think that's actually in my wheelhouse. I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it to the point that I want to go and dedicate 18 minutes a day to developing that right. skill.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable in my drawing and my painting area is where I want to stay. So,
or also just figuring out the nonsense things you like. Like for me, sports is a nonsense thing that I like, but it burns calories. It burns calories. And it's not something that I have to think about too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I enjoy it very much. And I can do it with people.
Right.
And that makes it happy for me. So that's sort of the outlet for me. But I don't know. Just, you know, again, you just have to like figure out I stopped working on my dissertation. Like I went through a whole doctoral program. I did all the classes. I did a prospectus. Like I wrote a whole prospectus. And then I realized last year that I didn't want to do it anymore, that I didn't.
Well, I did the same with a master's.
Yeah.
I got all the way to the end and had only a project left, a presentation, about 120 slide presentation. All I had, and I didn't finish it.
Yeah. Because I realized this is just not the thing right now. Like, is it something I might spend time on later? Yes. But at this moment in my life, do I want to devote 100 hours a year to that?
Right.
No, that's not where.
And see, for me, I moved into a different job position that doesn't require this master's mm-hmm. anymore. And I don't foresee me going back to what this master's required. So I am one presentation away from having it, but I would have to spend the time on that presentation to have it. So, 100 hours. So now it's going to have to be a check-in. Keep me accountable. Did you do anything in your art room for 18 minutes today?
Well, okay. When I had the shop and I would have people come in, and it didn't matter what stage stitcher they were, because needlepoint is not brain surgery. It's enjoyable. You can do it while you watch TV. It's cathartic. You're using your hands, so you have some creativity. You can pick colors and threads and all that. But I would tell these women that would come in, they wanted to do a belt. It's a nice gift. It's a good keepsake gift. It's a great graduation present. You can make them personal, blah, blah, blah. They would come in and say, I'll never finish it. And my standard answer was, sit down for 15 minutes a day and work on it. Because theoretically, 15 minutes is about an inch of work on a needlepoint belt. Because the strips are certain size and everything. But what I found was, if you had them stitching for 15 minutes, they would stitch for 30
mm-hmm.
or 45 and put it down. And if you do that every day, I mean, I'm a very fast stitcher. I can stitch a belt in a week. Most people can stitch, if they really put their mind to it, they can stitch a full belt in about 2 weeks without breaking a sweat or having bad calluses on their fingers like I do. But you can do it. And it's a big sense of accomplishment when you see what your 15 minutes visually gives you mm-hmm. every night that you're stitching on this belt. And then when they turn it in and we'd send it to the leather guy, and they got it back with a brass buckle on it, looked like something they would pick up at Saks Fifth Avenue. They were very pleased. They had a tangible, mm-hmm. this is how I spent my time.
Piece of art. It's whatever. Yeah.
So, you know, some things you can tell when you're doing your 15 or 18 minutes. So you have a evidence of what you've done. Other things, like if you exercise 15 minutes a day, it's going to take you longer to have the visual result.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, 100 hours is 100 hours. And in the span of your actual life, 100 hours is
nothing.
It's nothing.
All right, so if y'all could dedicate truly 100 hours this year, what would you want your 100 hours to be on?
Oh, I spoke this out loud today. Okay, there are three things for me. Working on my next show, like getting organized in my home, office, and other office. So in my home, my office, and my church space. Those are my three spaces that I'm sort of not in charge of, but like...
That you occupy.
That I occupy. And physical fitness. Those are my three. That's really what I need to...
Would you really need 100 hours to get organized?
No, not 100 whole. I don't know that I need 100 whole because I did a lot. I have done a lot in spurts. And I'm very good at when I have a chunk of time doing that.
Yeah.
I'm great at that. But it's the chunks of time. What's funny for me is sporadically, like my daytime isn't nearly as packed, but the chunks of time are sporadic. So like spring break, I'll have a chunk of time off so I can do more of that, if that makes sense. Because otherwise it's just like an hour or two here or there. But
all right, so what would you do, Beth?
Well, you know, I'm always going to opt for studio point, even though I should be cleaning out my space. That's one thing I need to do. I have some organizational things that I need to do. And then I have two projects at my house that maybe not 15 minutes or 18 minutes a day, but if I would do a couple of hours each week, it would be knocked out. They're not really 15-minute projects. They're, you know. Laying tile is going to take a
while. Well, I just want to spend that time being creative every day, whether I choose to draw or to paint. I feel like, I struggle with niching down. I know that if I chose to paint every day, then my painting would get better. But I could also choose to draw every day and my drawing would get better. Or I could choose to experiment with the new oil sticks that I got and that would get better. Or, it would develop into something. Like, it's just, I don't want to choose one thing. I want to just spend time every day with my hands in something.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So I guess we can challenge our listeners to choose something.
Yeah.
For 100 hours. What are your 100? If you had 100 hours.
Especially if it's something that, even if you're starting at zero, even if you're going, you know what? I want to ice skate.
Yeah.
Even if you never ice skated. If that's the thing you want to do, go do it. Because I have found, like in my not later, I don't know how to describe these years, my middle years. No, it also feels weird.
Adult years.
In my adult years.
Your grown-up years.
Like in the last 5 years.
Okay.
I found tennis and I never.
I love tennis.
I never really, I played softball for a year growing up. I played basketball for a year. But I wasn't a sporty person. I was a theater person and I danced. I did music. Like it was just that. And then I found tennis over COVID, and I love tennis. And I devote some time to that. So,
brand new experiences
are okay, even if it's something you just fantasized about, and you were like, "Yeah,
I'll try
that." Yeah, let me try that. What were you gonna say?
You started laughing. Are you gonna dance for us?
Is that what you want to do? You were not Sporty Spice.
I love Sporty. No.
It's not at all. To do a dance class. Oh, and I have seen mosaic tiles. I keep talking about wanting to do mosaic tiles because I was like, that is something. If I had painted out what I wanted to do, I could leave it in my den as a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just do it as a puzzle and put it together
If you did it as a puzzle, you could do 18 minutes.
Yes, I could. I could. So I could do that. Anyway.
But when you start laying them as tiles, that's going to take a while.
Well, I don't have to do that. I can hire somebody for that. Huh. I could do it. I can do it. So, and I saw a stained glass thing that looked really cool.
Yeah, I wanted to go do that.
Yeah, where they actually put the pieces of glass on the glass they already had. Mm-hmm. They didn't do a whole new window. They just put it on the window they already had.
It was cool.
It's like, oh, I might could do that.
Okay, we could do that. But also, honestly, I keep talking about this book I want to write. If I would honestly just do 15 minutes or 18 minutes.
Or if when we got home from our walks, I actually wrote for 15 minutes about these mystery books that we want to write.
Yep.
And then I sent it to you and then you wrote 15 minutes. We'd have 30 minutes.
Okay. I have a similar, this topic is related, but not. When is your most productive time? Like, when do you when do you have the instinct to produce the most, especially the creative instinct?
Unfortunately for my creative instinct, mine is like 10 to 2. But then can be, because I don't have that time, because I'm at work that time, is it has to be in the evening. I am never a first thing in the morning person. I know you are. You're laughing at me.
I am never a few minutes every morning after my devotion. Even if it's just one stitch and that's all I have time to get in. Like this morning, I had to leave. I was up early and had to leave my house before 6 a.m. I had my coffee, did my devotion, sunk one stitch in, then took it with me. Just in case. And but my really creative time is really like right after lunch or 8 o'clock to about 10 o'clock at night.
Early afternoon until is my big time.
So if I could have 10 to 2 with a snack, but then after that, it is because for so long, it was that 11 till midnight time was the only time I had to myself. Mm-hmm. Whether that was natural for me or not, it became my creative space. But my problem is that if I've had a really busy or hard day, my brain doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so it has to be something that's truly just a release at that point in time, something that I don't have to truly pay attention to.
But that's also okay. Like we have to let ourselves have, like, we have jobs. Jobs are a thing. And it's okay.
I'm so thankful.
Like my partner has been off work for 3 weeks because he had surgery.
Which I noticed his van left today.
Yes.
Did he go back to work?
Yes, we went back to work today. And so he got home and he was still in a great mood. Like there was no anything. And I was like, well, how was your day? And he said, well, it was kind of nice to go to work, because then you get home. When you get home from work, your day's accomplished and you can do whatever you want because you've accomplished some work in the day. And I was like, oh, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
That completely.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, even if you don't have a fulfilling day at your job that pays you, like even if it's just a rote day, which we all have, what then can you fulfill yourself with when you're on your spare time?
And I think that we're all fairly fortunate in that we do something. Now, Beth, I know yours is not. I mean, you do love what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it can be very tedious because you have so much travel that you have to do. But I think in generally, we all three work at jobs that we're good at and that we, for the most part, enjoy in our expertise.
Yeah.
So I think we're very fortunate that. So we can come home and have that creative time. Oh, be more creative, people.
Think about your 18 minutes. You have 100 hours.
I need to do 18 minutes times what, 2? I need to just do 15 minutes for our book. Because then when you do 15 minutes for the book, we're at 30 minutes for the day. Because when we become one person as an author, it won't really matter. We have accomplished 30 minutes towards that.
I'll write the forward.
And then I'll do 8. Yes, and I'll do 8. Well, you're going to have to edit.
Okay.
I'll do 18 minutes for my art. Yeah, you'll have to edit for us. Read through and edit and add some little humor in there.
I don't know. Consistency is a big thing.
That's
hard. Consistency is a very hard thing to do. Because I'll be sporadic about all kinds of things. Like, I'll have a day where last Monday, I danced for 2 solid hours and then I took a break and then I played a 2 hours singles tennis match and it wrecks me. It wrecks my body because that's not something I do consistently. I don't can I go hard for 4 hours? Sure. Will it hurt me the next day? Absolutely.
Because
I don't do it consistently.
And that's, if I can brush my teeth every day, twice a day, I can do something else for 18 minutes.
Yeah.
I can do something. I've just got to plug it into that routine.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
Thank you, type A.
No, routine can be hard because it can feel like a rule.
Not even like it. None of you.
But that,
oh, even that if you like it.
Our personality.
Yes, if you like it. If a rule, I can rebel against a rule that I created like nobody's business.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we just need to have everybody think how they're going to, what they're going to do for the 100 hours this year.
Yes. Well, feel free to share. We can come up with something that else I should do for my 100 hours. I'll be doing the writing and the creating.
What I should be doing is getting back to, what was I doing? French.
Oh, I've started Duolingo French again.
Need to do, see, did Duolingo. That little bird.
French is the language
I studied too.
We should all be speaking in French.
We could do a fun tongue.
Yeah, that's good.
Bonjour, mes amis.
Bonjour, ça va?
Oh, ça va. Oui.
I just need to know how to say, where is the needlepoint shop?
Où est le magasin?
Où est le shop, le needle shop?
The needlepoint?
Yeah. Key? No, that's who.
Okay. Yes, we are terrible French people.
Wrap it up.
We're
going a little crazy today.
All right. Well, I think that that is great. I think we're good with our 100 hours. I think we should do a check-in in a month or so and see if Lauren and I have created any sort of routine.
I'll bring you that project. 100 hours, this ought to be finished.
Yes, I agree. 100 hours, that should be finished.
Especially since you're like $200. I mean, 200 hours because it's going to take a while, but it's large. It's a large canvas.
It's really pretty.
Thank you.
All right. So what are y'all going to do this week to live a life you love?
I have a show. And it's a very good show and I'm very excited.
I'm excited about going to see that.
It's going to be great.
See if you and I can go together.
Let me know.
Yeah. We need to
go.
Because that would be
sounds good.
And then after that, I kind of get like a moment where like as soon as my show closes, my son has his spring break and then I roll right into my spring break. So it's going to like, as like in my job, a show is the thing you work toward. And as soon as that's over, then you get to catch up on the other things, sort of. So that's what the rest of the semester will sort of feel like to me is just like. A little bit of
doing all the rest of the busy work, the things that you're
doing, the rest of my job, and just spending like because he's out of school, I'll spend a little more time with him. So that's exciting.
Well, my daughter has a dance, the one that was postponed because of the ice storm, and then we'll be on spring break shortly too. And I've been gifted the chance to go to the beach, so
we're
still thinking it over and making sure that it will work out because my daughter also has a show. And I'm not sure how the rehearsal schedule is going to go with spring break and all that. So we're figuring it out, but just having the possibility is really fun to think about. Yeah.
I have to shop for the mother of the groom dress.
Okay. So wait, do I need to make that a thing?
Probably, because at this point, I don't have a thing. Yes, I need to go anywhere.
Maybe we should go to Nashville.
So I have got to find a dress. No. So my spring break is coming up too.
Okay.
And so I'm hoping that over spring break that I get that done. And I'm struggling a little bit with having been a teacher, a 9-month teacher that has summers off. And now I'm a 12-month teacher. So I don't like I'm a regular working person with like the weeks off for vacation and things like that. So I'm looking at spring break thinking I may not need to go anywhere. I may need to stay here and get home projects done and those kinds of things that I used to look forward to in the summer. But at the same time, going to the beach would be a
lot of fun. But you've also got a wedding.
I do have a wedding coming up. I've got things I need to get organized for that. And I've got to get, once again, I have to have an aunt of the groom dress because my nephew's getting married in April. A mother of the groom dress for my kid in June. And just general things.
You've got to have a rehearsal dinner dress.
Oh, gosh. Yes. And I have to have a rehearsal dinner dress. Like,
there's a lot of
things. I have never had this much trouble dressing myself.
You need to make a list of all the things you can
just make a list.
Waterproof mascara.
Every day, baby. Waterproof. You never know when you're going to cry.
Yeah.
Waterproof mascara is a must. I'm just saying.
You can cry every day, but you won't have professional photography in your face every day.
Yeah. No, but still,
good point.
Waterproof mascara. I don't care what the occasion, you need it.
The highlights.
Listen, when I was about to get married, I have an aside. May I have an aside?
Of course.
Sure.
So my mother made my wedding dress. My mother did not finish my wedding dress. And I was in the bridal suite waiting to get married, waiting on my wedding dress to show up. And I tried it on, the bodice fit, like everything was fine. She was just finishing the skirt, like the end. I get a call from my mother. Mother, if you listen to this, I love you. I'm not angry with you at all. You're one of my favorite humans. Anyway, I get a call from my mother and she says, and this was, I got married at 4 o'clock. This was at 3. She calls me. I'm in a bridal suite at the church. And she says, I need you to postpone your wedding. I'm not done with the dress. And I was like, mother, bring the, like, she hand-stitched it. Like, she's
like, bring it now. It's
all- I said, just, I don't care what said, just bring it. She's like, I can't. I just can't. And I was like, Mom, just bring the dress. So then we send my sister to get the dress from the house and extract my mother from the house. My stepmom in the time being brings my sister's dress. I don't know. A lot of dresses were brought to me. And then in this whole rigmarole, my aunt comes in and hands me a Xanax. She's like, take this.
I took one the day of my wedding. Also took a half a Xanax because I started bursting out laughing during the vow rehearsal dinner. My mom was like, you can't do that during the real thing.
Like, my hair was perfectly coiffed. My makeup was exquisite. Like, I looked amazing. And I thought, no, I don't need the pills. I'm not going to cry. But this is so strange. So finally, I made the pre-show music go longer. And finally, the dress shows up, and it's like a little, it's not finished at the edges, but you couldn't tell. Yeah. So I wore it anyway. And
so you got to wear your dress that your mom made.
Yeah. Now it doesn't matter to me, but the fact that my mother made it is what matters to me, which is funny. Because at the moment, I was like, I'm in an unfinished dress.
Too bad. You could have torn it up and made it into Leah's Christina.
I love how you just went the music as the pre-show.
It's the pre-show. It's pre-show music.
They were supposed to go.
Look, in my defense, and I would be a great event planner, the pre-show would go to 4 and then we'd start the show, right? Well, we were supposed to start the show at 4. No.
You mean the
pre-show started at 4.
It's not really
It's the show. It's a show. It's a show. It's an event.
It's a show, buddy.
It started at 4. Pre-show started at 4. We didn't start the wedding until 4:30. Places,
everyone. The bride is here.
And go.
Anyway. Tammy Foster was doing the organ.
No. This is when I was Methodist. Blaspheme. I was a Methodist at the time.
Because I could just see him.
Now they're sounding.
All right, okay. So
we're going to have a fabulous week, y'all.
Thank y'all for joining us for Champagne Sunday.
See you next week, girls.
See you next week. Yeah, cheers.
Have a good week.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.